Lord, knowing that you are right here in our midst, and so we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and that you might be honored and glorified, and that you would do the work you desire to do in our lives, that we might truly be the testimony of your great grace that you've given to us and do give to us every day. So bless your people, bless your word, and bless the work of your word in our hearts and minds, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Pertinent Information for the Believer, and that is basically glorify God in your body, right? That is pertinent information for the believer, and God says here in his word, glorify God in your body. And the wonderful thing is that God tells us exactly how that's to take place in your life and mine. So we'll look at two simple things, two illustrations, and two understandings tonight that God has for you and I as his believers. And he wants to help us to see his plan of how he wants to glorify, the Lord wants to glorify himself in our everyday lives. And here's the wonderful part of it. It's not on you to do that. It's in his word, and it's his promise to us that he wants to fulfill in our lives. So tonight we'll simply look at two illustrations, and that is a temporal illustration and an eternal futuristic illustration, if you will, and then understanding our alliance with God and understanding God's alliance with us. It's a two-way street. We have an alliance with him, but he has one with us as well. So back up with me, if you would, to verse 13. And notice this temporal illustration as we understand what God is trying to point out to us, and that is that we can glorify God in our body. So he says this concerning this temporal illustration, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. So he says, listen, when you eat food, it's for the nourishment of your body, and that's what the belly was created for, to receive that, and that's what meat was created for. Now, we live in a day and age where people say, oh, you shouldn't eat this, and you shouldn't eat that, and you should eat this. Well, God says that whatever he's created for you and I to enjoy, to eat, we should give thanks for it, right? And you have some people say, no, don't eat animals, because that might be, you know, Aunt Susie that's been reincarnated. I mean, we've got the craziest ideas. When man is left to himself, we think that the animals are more important than mankind. And I know it might break their hearts, but God has made mankind after his own image to honor and glorify him. And everything else was created. And by the way, we were created for the glory of God. And everything else that God has created for us to enjoy is still for the glory of God. And may we not look to people who say, oh, you need to abstain from meats. And then, listen, aren't vegetables living also? Amen? I mean, anything you eat, for the most part, unless it's synthetic, are alive also. So they have cells too. And so we can carry it. We can just really go crazy when you leave man to his own mind. Yeah, you know what? They have life too, and we could just get all kinds of craziness here. But God says, I want you to know this, that I have created meats for the belly and the belly for meats. I mean, that's exactly the important design that God had given to us in our creation. And he says this, but he says, God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, he's talking about your body. He's talking about my body. He's saying, I want you to know something, that the body is not for fornication. Well, let me ask you this question. What is the world showing us the body is for today? Well, it's certainly not for the Lord, and it certainly is for fornication. Hey, God knows exactly what he's doing and where society would be, because now, here's the terminology that you hear today. Ready? Love is love. Oh, please, please, please. Love is not love if it goes against the word of God. That is a perversion of what God intended. See, God is the author of life, and anything that is in contrast to what God says is good, The marriage bed is good. It's undefiled. It's a good thing. But anything outside of that is not good. Today they say, oh, well, listen, these people, they're not pedophiles. They just love little children. Well, they better keep away from mine, because I won't take too kindly for them to express themselves the way that they think they love children. No, God says that is a perversion, and there's something wrong with them. But here's what's worse. There's something wrong with our society to not call that as a problem. And so God says, listen, I want you to know, listen, God wants his people. The world's never going to receive this, but God wants his people to know what he intended in creation, so that we would stand short because of what God has said, not what man has said, right? We want to obey what God has said, because mankind without God is way off base, way off track, lost, depraved, and undone without God. That's all of us. That's what we all were before salvation. So he says, I want you to know that the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That was God's intended purpose. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful plan that God has for his people. Then notice this. He says this in verse 14. So here we have a temporal illustration, but now we have an eternal futuristic illustration. And he says this in verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up, or up us, by his own power. He's saying, listen, so it's talking about really in what's going to happen eventually. We'll all stand before the Lord and we'll be resurrected. But also here in this, on this side of eternity, God's also raising us up to be a peculiar people, to be a people empowered by his grace and indwelt by the mind of God. Is the word of God the mind of God? All right. Is the Holy Spirit also to teach us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so God has given you and I the mind of God. Now, what that means is the world might say, well, you have the mind of God. Yeah, it's in the book. Amen. And it's also confirmed by the Holy Spirit that the believers indwelt with. Now, please don't ever expect the world to believe that, because to the natural man, the spiritual things are foolish. But wait a minute, to you and I who are spiritual and know that there is a hereafter, and know that there is a Redeemer, and know that there's coming a day when we'll stand before our God, we know also that the things that are of this world, that the world prizes to be of great value, is really not. The greatest value you and I as human beings could ever have is our relationship with God first, and then with our family, and then all of humanity as we share the gospel. And so he says, I want you to know, this is important information, and in a nutshell, you know what God is saying in these two verses? God has a design, a plan, and an order. Mankind will always get that wrong. Before salvation, you probably had some different ideas than what you'll find in the Word of God as proof that our minds and our thoughts are not God's. Amen? But we thank the Lord that he has given to us his mind and his thoughts that we might understand. So look with me, if you will, in verse 15, and notice as God shares with us an understanding of our alliance with God. Notice verse 15. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now that's a new concept. Especially, listen, you can know you're redeemed, but to know, listen, when you got saved, here's what we did know for sure: our sins have been forgiven. Is that true? How many of our sins have been forgiven? All of them. Isn't that good? But that's all really that we understood until we get to understanding more of the Word of God, because that reveals the mind of God. And here's what happens. The Holy Spirit that we're indwelt with says, that's the truth. Amen? So watch this. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? He says, God forbid. So now all of a sudden, we understand the ramifications and the distinction that God makes concerning our relationship to other people and how we're to look at things and see them, not the way that we think, because the world's philosophy, right, wrong, or indifferent, is if it feels good, do it. That's what the world says. But wait a minute. Let's tell that to the drug addict. if it fedoes good, where does it get you now? Let's do that. Let's talk about people that do things that destroy their bodies. And if it feels good is not the law, it's not the rule that God has set up. It's destruction that mankind finds without the Lord. So he says, you know what? You're a new person now. Your thinking ought to be lining up the way that God thinks. So there's two ways, really. There's only two ways. There's God's way, and then there's man's way. That's it. There's only two ways to do it. There's either the way that we think, and it's just really quite crazy the way that the world is going, because they're at least you kind of knew, but now man's way has become so confounded that they don't even know which way is up anymore. It may be up today, it won't be up tomorrow, it'll be up the next day, it might be sideways the week after next, right? So the world has no idea of what right and wrong is and what good and bad is. They don't know. But the Lord says, hey, listen, you know what? This is what I intended to be for food. This is what I intended to be good in this kind of a relationship. This is what was designed and created for mankind to enjoy. So he says, I want you to know something. The world doesn't know this, but I want you to know something, that your bodies are the members of Christ, and that we are not to make them unified or joined with a harlot or this world. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't respect them. We do respect them. But why is it that God would not want us to be unequally yoked with unbelievers? Because they will influence you. They really will. Here's what will happen. Because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you'll begin to see that they're ones for whom Christ died, and you'll begin to like them. But what will happen is, though, is they will influence us in the wrong direction. So we can be, how would you say, we can socialize with them, but we don't want to really develop a relationship with them, because they will affect us. That's why he said, listen, let me ask you this, did God want to influence the world through Israel? Yes, he did. You'll see, there's many times he shows you all the different kinds of ways to bring in a Gentile into the Israeli Hebrew economy. Was there not? And what that process was. He spelled it out because he wanted them to come in, right? But listen, the world pulls away. That's different when people are seeking the Lord in that. But the world does not want any of that. And if we yoke up with them, we'll begin to like them. We'll have a heart for them, and they'll lead us away with that. That's what happens. They never really, unless they're seeking God right from the get-go, they will lead the child of God away. And that's why the Lord warned them about making relationships with those that are of heathen nations and had a different belief. So verse 16, he says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? So this is an important concept. As we consider this, he's saying, listen, remember, we know these things, so to speak, but he wants to confirm these things, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And when we consider these things, realize what we're doing. God is wanting us to realize that when we unify with them, that what's taking place is that when we're joined together, we become one flesh, so to speak. So he says again, verse 16, what? He's asking a question. It's really a rhetorical question, because he knows that we know the answer and that this is not right. And for sure, if we've never heard this question before, the Holy Spirit would say, this is the mind of God. This is right. So he says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Listen, for two saith he shall be one flesh. And the believer goes, oh yeah, Genesis. I remember that. All the way in the beginning, when God created them, male and female created he them. To be, this is what the family unit is. Anything outside of that is not God's plan. It's man's idea. And what man brings into the world is death and destruction. Now, this might sometimes be offensive, but listen, it's the truth. It's the truth. I've mentioned this, and it's important, and And it's so true, and the world doesn't even see it. The world doesn't even see it. But I mentioned to you this fellow, Rick, that I worked with. He was a chemical engineer, and he was sharp. He was smart. He was really smart. Had foul mouth. If he knew you were a Christian, he'd really let it fly. He was trying to put salt on the wound, right? But really what he was doing was he was just revealing himself. And really, it didn't bother me because I can't change him. I got news for you. Ready? Listen to this one. I can't change myself. I need God to change me. Amen? What is little old me going to do that couldn't do for himself without God to somebody else? So I'm telling you, years, maybe a couple years went by or so, and one day he came into the clean room, and it was just he and I, and the clean room was probably about half this auditorium right here, and anyway, the Lord kept I thought it was just in my head, right? You should go witness to him. You should go witness to him. And I started to have a little conversation with myself. I started to say, that's Rick. He'll chew me up and spit me out, right? He'll give me what for, and I'll feel about this big. And so anyway, the thought came to me. And I said, Rick, can I ask you a question? And he said, ask away. And I said, Rick, what would you think of me if I had the cure to the cancer, if I had the cure to cancer and I never told anybody? Oh, he couldn't wait. He said, I think you'd be the worst, and he just let me have it. Like, good for nothing, dirty, no good for nothing, right? And so anyway, I said, well, I want you to know something. God revealed to me where eternal life is at and how you can know. And listen, I'm telling you, I was about this far away from him, and he was locked in on me, and he gave me his full attention. And I gave him the whole plan of salvation in about 10 minutes, and I said, Rick, you could have that right now. And here's what he said to me. He said, I'm not ready for that right now, but thank you for telling me. That's what I said in my heart. I was like, whoo, that was God. That would have never happened. Amen? But God arrested his attention to hear the gospel message, to receive it. He didn't put his faith in it, but and maybe, Lord willing, this has been close to 20 years ago, but Lord willing, maybe sometime in his life, because I don't see him anymore and hadn't seen him for many years, Lord willing, maybe he trusted the Lord as his Savior. But God got his attention the way that we can't do. We need the Lord. God is the liberation, really. When you got saved, you put your complete faith or trust in what Christ did for you, and he did it all. I want you to know it's still about God doing it all on this side of eternity. If we could just get that in our minds, listen, you can't fail if God is doing it. Did God save you? That's a question. Did God save you? Will you show up in heaven? Absolutely. You know why? Because God did it. If we want success, that is the whole thing. Listen. You don't answer this out loud. If you've ever failed before, and every believer has, and by the way, I want you to know something. I want you to know that God is merciful to all of his children, and we have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in our life one way or the other, or what I am saying and what the Word of God is saying would not make any sense. You have seen God intervene in your life. There's no doubt about it. You have seen God work in your life because you're his. But God wants us to know how to be continually connected to him, to where we experience his grace and power in our lives, to where we are awed by the glory of God, and he brings success. But as long as we're asking God, Lord, give me patience, we're asking for the wrong thing. Lord, make me stronger. He's waiting for us to come to the end of ourselves so that we can say, God, I can't do anything without you, so you do it for me. And he says, "Now let me show you. How much does God want to do for you? Does he want you to do 50% and him do 50%? Does he want to do 100%? Because listen to this truth, and you've heard it before, God will not share his glory with anybody. Because if you do 50% of it, you're going to back up and say, thank you, God, but I did the other 50. Praise me. Or if you did it all in your strength, you're going to say, man, I'm good. No, there's none good. So it's a wonderful thing to come to that understanding and say, okay, Lord, here it is, ready? All yours. And that now I don't have anything to, God says, put it in my hands and I'll take care of it. Well, I don't know, Lord. And by the way, the Word of God is not talking about being passive and not being engaged and not being involved and not doing anything. That's not what God's talking about. God is just wanting us to know the right power source. So notice this. Listen to what he says here. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Okay, now let me ask. You're joined to him through the blood. You're joined to him through the resurrection. You are joined to him through the glorification of God when he was standing and at the right side of God the Father. So listen to what it's saying right here. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Question, the word spirit, is it capitalized or lowercase? It's lowercase. But the theologians will tell you it could be either or. I've got news for you. It could be your spirit, man's quickened spirit, or the Holy Spirit. But here's the truth, ready? It's both. It's both. It is the Spirit of God working in and through us. Listen, do you remember that little story I told you? God used me. I want you to know I was surprised. No. I was shocked that Rick gave me his attention. I was shocked that I spent 10 minutes with him telling him the gospel. This fella, and he was older than me, and just every four, and he extra spiced up his surroundings when I was there. All right? I mean, I just noticed it. It just became more flamboyant, right? Anyway, listen, when I walked away from that, I think Brother Rogers, praise God, it was the Lord. Amen. That, listen, he used me, but it was the Lord. Every time, listen, you know those times as a saved child of God, you know when the Spirit of God is working, because here's what you walk away saying, that wasn't me. That was God. But wait a minute, he uses us. But the problem is when we want to help God. No, we are just the vessel. He puts in us what we need. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything, but what power are we relying on? Very quickly, let me move quickly here. And notice this. This is understanding our alliance with God. And again, verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord, is the believer joined unto the Lord? Amen. Okay, he is, and she is joined unto the Lord, and notice, is one spirit. That means you're in Christ, and Christ is in us, and God the Father is in us. By the way, if you look up the word sanctification, do you know that we are sanctified by God the Father? Do you know that we are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you know that we are also sanctified by the Holy Spirit? Is God one God? He is not separate. There is not one triune part of God that's more important than any other part. We try to divvy it up. No, it's God in us. And that's the wonderful thing. Last thought. Understanding God's alliance with us. Ready? So now we just saw our alliance with God. Let's look at God's alliance with us. Verse 18. He says, flee fornication, because we're one spirit. Flee fornication in his strength. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19, what? Again, he asks this question. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? This is not new news to the believer. We know that. So listen, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It ought to put the light on. Oh, which is in you. Who's in us? The Holy Ghost. Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And here's the last thing. This is God's alliance with us. God is wanting us to know what he has made of us. You are the temple of God. T-
to his, now watch this, ready? Because you are the temple of God, and God, the problem comes when we start looking to what I can do. You are the temple of God. That means God is housed in you, and that is the power source of the believer. Because if you begin to think, got to remember this, God won't give you not 1% of the credit for his power in your life. Not 1%. So God wants to do how much of the work in our lives to glorify him? All of it. All right, now here it is. Because of that, listen, I'm going to ask you this. You can just quickly answer. Have you ever failed God? Okay, here's another question. Ready? Have you ever asked God to help you not fail him anymore? How'd that go for you? You failed him again, didn't you? We will always do that. I've done the same thing. Lord, help me be stronger. No. That is, Lord, lead me with Christ. Lord, you do the work. That's a whole different ballgame. Now, if God's doing the work, you have the same assurance of success. You have the same assurance of success like you had when God did anything through you that surprised you. Have you ever done something for the Lord that surprised you? Whatever it was, witness to somebody, or all of a sudden, you know, God give you this peace and this kindness when you shouldn't have had any. Whatever it is, you just knew God was involved. You had complete success because God was involved. And it was 100%, and yet he does it through us. Now, because of that, listen, you have eternal life because God is involved. And you put your faith in what God did, right? And he saved you 100% because he did the whole part of salvation. He didn't do half of it. He didn't do 75. He did all of it, right? Now, if we can just keep our eyes on Christ, we won't sink. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, please. But I know that we are frail. I tell you all the time, we can know this truth, but we have to ask God to open our eyes to walk in it, or we will fall flat on our face, okay? And we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're just talking about being delivered for the glory of God. Because listen to what God says here in the last verse. Ready? Watch this, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Is that the truth? Amen. You know why you knew that? Because the Holy Spirit was inside saying yes. Right? All right. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, listen to what God says. Glorify God where? Isn't that amazing? Not in your power. We'll never do it. We will fail. We'll be saying, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And because we're trying it in our strength. Because of all that, he says, because you are bought with a price, therefore, remember the therefore? The therefore is therefore because of what was just said. So what was just said? God says you're bought with a price. Therefore, because of the price that was paid for you, because of what you've been given in salvation, you can glorify God in your body. Listen, and in your spirit, in case there was any wonder of where this was all coming from, look at this. This is a beautiful verse. Ready? He says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God. Who do they belong to? It's God's. It's God's glory. It's God's salvation. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. It's God's patience. It's God's long suffering. So when you need anything, you know what you need? You don't need patience. You don't need kindness. You don't need gentleness. We don't need all those things. You know what we need? Amen. God. God. So who do I need today? And who will I need tomorrow? I don't need him to make me strong. I need him in me. He's in me, but that's the power I want to operate on. So tonight, this is pertinent information for the believer. And that is that you can glorify God in your body by the grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder. We thank you for the truth and the revelation, Lord, that you give to us through your word. Lord, may we not look to ourselves but to you from where our strength comes from and where your grace comes from and where your joy and where your peace and where the understanding of what trials and tribulations are all about, and that is to crucify the old man that the inner man might break forth, Lord, and glorify
himself in and through our lives and through our spirit and through our body. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.